Exodus 21. It's been 20 years since we looked at this. It's a story I had forgotten and now reminded of it. How marvelous, how wonderful, a story of redemption. This is another marvelous type. I love the types, don't you? I like that statement that Abraham Lincoln said one time. They asked him about a book. He said, "Well, if you like this kind of book, this kind of book you'll like." He wasn't trying to be clever. It's just true. And if you like the types, this is the type of type you'll like. Oh, the types prove this is God's word. Prove God's son. Prove him. Declare him before he came. Very clear types. No type is perfect. That's why there's so many. Right after the law, now let me quote this verse to you before, because this is the story. It's a story of a maid servant being redeemed. And I love this verse in Psalms. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us." I love that. Psalm 123, verse 2. But right after the law in Exodus 20, the Lord begins to give laws, dealings with everything and everyone. The Lord hands down laws all through the book of Exodus. The law of God is good. God is so merciful and gracious. Don't think of law as something strict that's going to judge you and condemn you, but there's so many laws that God made that were so just and righteous and provided for the care of everything and everyone. God is just. Don't think of his justice as merely going to send an unrighteous sinner to hell. His justice is his fair and righteous dealings. Everything he does is right. It's just. Man's not just. God is just. He's going to do what's right by everybody. He's so just. A just God and a Savior. He'll save anybody and everybody that asks him. Now, isn't he good? But his just dealings. He handed down these laws, God's tender mercies over all his work, his just dealings for the care and provisions for everything and everyone, even the poor servants. He even deals with animals, the fair dealings with animals. And that's our God in every way in this universe. He deals with everything. But the greatest picture here, and the whole reason for this, is God's wise, just, and good, and merciful dealings with his people, poor sinners, sold to sin, and his great redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the story here of a Jewish handmaid or servant. Let's read it. Exodus 21, verses 7, just one, two, three, four, five verses. Oh my, what a story. Verse 7. "If a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants did, if she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself. Then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power. No right, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. If he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, her duty of marriage, that is love, shall he not diminish. If he do not these three things on there, then she shall go out free without money." He gets nothing from her going out and leaving. Now, this is all concerning the daughters of Jerusalem. You hear me? the daughters of Jerusalem. These are daughters of Jacob, like the sons of Jacob. And that's important, okay? Because God didn't redeem. He didn't send His Son to redeem all mankind, but to redeem His people, His elect. Sons of Jacob, elect, whom He loved. Now, the time. You need to consider the times here. How could a man sell his daughter to be a servant? Well, there was abject poverty everywhere. It was so common that the only way a person could get bread is to sell themselves as a servant. If debts piled up and there were no means to pay, or if you committed a crime, we saw that in the manservant, you became the property of the one you were indebted to. And you have to pay that full price and to go free. Times were so bad, so hard, that a man with a large family who couldn't afford, couldn't leave them, go work somewhere else, but he must continue to try to support them. But to help with his debts, he may have to sell a daughter or son as a servant to help out to pay the debts that man incurred. And that's what happened. You say, how could a man do this? Well, he had no choice. Okay, he had no choice. So he sold his daughter. Verse 7, if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. Now our Lord said she's not to go out and be a common field laborer. He wouldn't let children. There was no child slave labor. Our God's too good. I mean, the women were not to go out in the fields and work hard labor like the men did. They were house servants. God is good, He said. Because that was hard labor back then. No machines, all by hand. But she was to be a house servant, a handmaid, a maid servant. Okay? She wasn't to be sold as a harlot. We're going to read that in Exodus. Oh no, you don't sell your daughter for any unjust purposes. But honest, good labor to a good man who's going to take care of her and do what's right by her. Okay? Cook, clean, keep house, and not put on her more than she could bear. Our Lord's good like that to all mankind, isn't it? His tender mercies are over all His work. He really is. So she's sold as a maidservant to a master. God in mercy, and continuing this thing of our Lord's practical or just dealings with all mankind, God in mercy, knowing the depravity of man here, the temptations that would arise, He established a law that would not allow a daughter of Jerusalem to be sold unless she was to be really cared for properly, married. The man that bought her, he was to marry her, okay? Because of the temptations there. He's to marry her, treat her right, treat her like a wife, okay? And so the Lord provided for the poor, debt-ridden daughters of Jerusalem. None of them were treated unfairly. Our Lord saw to it. Nobody's going to mistreat my children. Isn't God good? Verse 8, if she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed, but not to a strange nation. He has no right to do that. He'd be dealing deceitfully with her, not going to sell her out completely. Not lawful to turn her out into the world among strangers. She's his daughter. She's his daughter. Okay. All right. This is the story. In the story. And this is the story of redemption. The king's daughters. And I love Psalm 145, don't you? 45. The king's daughters are all glorious. They're brought to the king in raiment of needlework. Glorious in their apparel. Read that if you haven't read it in a while. Psalm 45. Wonderful. All about the king's daughter. By the way, were you born king's daughter? I was. We were all born in a hospital called King's Daughter Hospital. Tammy? Ron, were you born there? You were born in a log cabin somewhere, weren't you? At any rate, king's daughters. We're all born of God right here. We're the king's daughters. We're all the weaker vessel. We're all like his daughters. Oh, my. And this is our story. We're poor, debt-ridden sinners when he finds us. We've sold ourselves. That's what the Lord said about his people of Israel. You've sold yourself for nothing. And you're going to be redeemed without money, without pride. It's going to take something to redeem you, but it's not money. Not gold and silver or your vain conversation, your will, your works, but it's going to be the precious blood of his Son. And God in mercy causes us to know that we have sold ourselves. God in mercy allows or lets us get in that predicament to get us out of it. All mankind's in, all man sold himself. All mankind. God's going to tell us, going to show up. I allowed you to do that so that you'd see what I've done for you. We're all going to see him. Like right now. We owe a great debt we cannot pay, don't we? God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's law. God's law is not unfair. It's just. We're the problem. The law is not the problem. We are. We're rebels. We hate law. We hate authority. When it's good for us. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Just do what I tell you, it'll go well with you. Obstinate, rebellious, children of wrath, even as others. I will not. Okay. Remember me saying last Sunday, God will give you what you want. Go ahead. You want the world? Go ahead. That's what he said of Ephraim, didn't he, in Hosea. He's joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Let's see what happens to him. But he belongs to the Lord. And we belong to him even when we were dead in trespass and sin. While we were yet enemies. Like Gomer, God had been providing for us and caring for us. We didn't know his name. He said, I girded you though you didn't know me. But you're going to know. You're going to know. And you're going to loathe yourselves. You're going to realize that you sold yourselves. Who was it read? Kelly, John, you read Psalm 44 last Wednesday. Lord, why have you done this? You remember that? Lord, why have you done this? Read it for yourself. You remember reading that? Why have you done this? Well, he didn't do that, but he allowed us to do what we did. To get in the predicament that we got ourselves in. To sell ourselves. You see, God only saves sinners. This redemption is for sinners. Christ died for sinners. Do you ask the average person, are you sold to sin? Did you do this to yourself? Are you a sinner? Well, no, I'm not too bad. That's what they'll say, won't they? No, you've sold yourself to sin. You owe a debt. Oh, no, I'm a good fellow. I'm okay. I'm not that bad. I've got some faults, but I'm not that bad. Well, then Christ didn't. Then he didn't. You're not being redeemed. That Christ died for sinners. And he's going to show everyone, his people, you've sold yourself for nothing. You gave yourself body, mind, body, soul, and strength to the world and everybody in it. Like a harlot. Right? Gonna make you realize that. And God allowed it. God directed it, if you will. God willed it to show us his great mercy. Tell us what a great sinner we are, to show us his great mercy. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to yourself. Now, look what I've done. Look what my son did. Look what my son did. The king's daughter. It says, if she please not her master, 8, verse 8, if she please not her master, oh my, God is not pleased. Didn't he say that in Hebrews? With many of them, God was not well pleased. God looked down upon the sons of men to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did seek after God. He said, there's none. And all together become filthy, he said. None of them. All together displeasing to God. None righteous. Not one. But God. You see, I cannot preach without those two words. You can't preach the gospel unless you put man where he is. Unless you show man what he really is. And then that really reveals who God is. What God is. What Christ did. Like you go to a jewelry store and you want to look at a diamond or a pearl. Let's look at a pearl. You look at a beautiful white pearl. What does a jeweler do to show you that pearl, to exhibit the brightness and the luster and the beauty and the purity and the spotlessness and the whiteness, if you will, of that pearl? What does he do? He brings out a black velvet or a dark blue velvet cloth and lay a black and puts that bright pearl on there. So there you see at the backdrop of that black cloth, you see the beauty of that pearl. And no one can appreciate. No one sees. No one understands what Christ really did except sinners. Yeah. We know He's given us an understanding. He causes us to understand what we are, what we've done. And then causes us to understand a little bit of just how great He is. How glorious, how merciful, how great. We don't please Him, no. But verse 8 says, if she pleased not her master who hath betrothed her to himself. There in Hosea is a story of the love of God to Israel, isn't it? Who are like harlots, that's what he said. And the Lord sent Hosea down to marry this Gomer, you know, that didn't care anything about God or Hosea. He said, that's the love of God to His people. And God betrothed Gomer to Hosea. Okay? She's going to be his wife. She's going to be his wife. It doesn't look like it for a while. Things look really bad. Gets really black. She gets real low. Oh my, when it's all over. When it's all over, the whole story of Ephraim, I got to get to the end. I'm going to clear the end from the beginning. When it's all said and done, God said, I can't give Ephraim up. He's mine. He's mine. He's a jewel of my crown. I'll lose that glory if I lose him. And when it's all over, Ephraim said, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him. I've heard the truth. I've heard the gospel. I've seen His glory. I've seen what He did for me. I've observed Him. Now I'm His and He's mine. So we're betrothed to Him. Though we don't please Him, it pleased the Lord to make us His people. Okay? Look at verse 8. To sell her to a strange nation, He hath no power. See, He hath dealt deceitfully. Our Lord doesn't deal deceitfully with us, does He? When He promises something, He means it then. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. All that come to God by Christ, He will receive. Everyone. Every single one. As many as receive Him, to them give He the power, the right to become sons of God. That's right. He that believeth on the Son hath life. To not come into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. None. Zero. No debts. Gone. Redeemed. You come to Christ, and He'll redeem you. You'll find out He already did. Well, but she doesn't please the Master, and the debt still has to be paid, okay? So He says, let her be redeemed, but not going to let her go anymore. That's what happened to it. Someone's going to have to claim her. Someone's going to have to pay her debt. Someone's going to have to pay her crimes. Who's going to do that? Look at verse 9. If he betrothed her unto his son. Now, he's going to deal with her like a daughter. He gives her to his son, the Redeemer, to marry her. Isn't that our story? Oh, my. Someone has to do it. Listen to Romans 3. Listen to this. Here's the whole story of redemption. You know, Romans says, justified freely, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, not work, faith, to declare his righteousness. Isn't our God righteous to do what he did? Just and Savior. For remission of sins that are past, debts all gone, through the forbearance of God, though we didn't please him, Christ did. God's well pleased with his righteousness. To declare, I say, his righteousness. See, we're not redeemed with our own righteousness, but his. That God might be just and justifier. He's not going to turn her out. Mm-mm. Promised to redeem her. So he gave her to his son. And that's what he did. How God can be just and justifier is the God-man came down here. I'm going to read that in Romans 4 or Galatians 4 in just a minute. He just can't turn her out. That'd be deceitful of him, wouldn't it? So he gave her to his son, to her son, betrothed him. That sounds like so many stories in the scripture, doesn't it? Boaz and Ruth. Naomi, you know the whole story of Naomi. She did that to herself, didn't she? She was fine in Bethlehem. She left Bethlehem. She left the house of bread. Why? Better opportunity. Better opportunity. She went there and boy, it all went bad. Didn't it? She said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. The Lord's dealt real hard with me. No, Naomi. You sold yourself. You left the people of God, the place of God. But God let you get real low to bring you high. Boy, didn't it? How did it end with Naomi and Ruth? It's all about a maiden. It was all about a maiden marrying a redeemer. That's what it's about. And as I said, the story of Hosea and Gomer. And that's our story, brothers and sisters. Oh, in mercy and goodness, our Lord God in heaven betroths us, promises us, gives us this handmaid to his son, that we be displeasing to him. And it says in our text, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughter. Okay? If she's the wife of his son, if she's married to his son, that means she is his daughter, right? We call it daughter-in-law, but not back then. They didn't call them daughters-in-law. What's your wife's name? Tracy. It's going to happen. I was hugging Tracy. I said, what are you to me? My niece-in-law? You know, he's my beloved nephew. I love her like I love for Luke now. You reckon Bob loves her like he loves Lou? Oh, my. You know he does. He doesn't think of you as a daughter-in-law because you have to be. That's not the way God thinks of his people. He doesn't love us because he has to. It was the love of God sent his son to marry us. It was the goodness of this master that gave this woman, though she displeased him, gave her to his son. His son, so his son would marry her and treat her right, so he wouldn't have to turn her out. I'm going to give her to somebody that will love her and care for her. My son. And so, God loves his people, and this is amazing. We have a hard time believing this, don't we? But God loves you if you're a child of God, if you love Christ, his son. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Boy, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear a hallelujah there. I thought I'd hear one. Just a wow. It's true. I remember. And our Lord kept talking about his father in John's gospel. My father. I go to my father. My father. My father. And then after he arose from the grave, he said this, I go to my Father and your Father. Tell him I go to my Father and he's your Father. It was the Father that sent his only begotten, well-beloved Son to be abused like this woman deserved so that she'll go free, so redeemed by his own death and blood. All right. Now, if she's the wife of his Son, that means she is his daughter. And she's to be treated like that. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become sons of God. All right? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. See, I'm not a son of God. I know it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But God said you are, if you believe his Son. That's what he said. Romans 8, listen to this. God has sent his Spirit to give us this adoption. Listen, the Spirit itself, we've not received the spirit of bondage again. See, this woman, she's married to the Son now. Is she still a maidservant? Is she still under bondage? No. Because when the Son marries, this is the Son of the Master. He has everything. He's the heir. So once he marries her, what does that make her? A joint heir with him. So now she's no longer a slave in the house. She's a daughter with full rights and privileges and boldness and access and love of the master and love of his Son. Everything, she can come and go now. She's free. But like the servant before her in Exodus 21, she don't want to go anywhere. It was the Master's goodness to bring her to that place to marry her Son. And now she sees, I'm better off here than I was out there sold. And now I want to stay right here. Married to this loving husband of mine. Is that you? We were out there once, weren't we? Course of the world, like everybody else. Thought we were free. Mm-mm. But God. And now, married to another. Oh, Lord, I pray all the time, don't let me leave. I don't want to go back out there. Please. You promised me to Christ, please keep me. Well, he will. Look at our text. It says, if he take another wife, how many wives does our Lord have? You know, that's the only reason for the story of Solomon having 300 wives and 700 concubines. You know that? 1,000. That's the only purpose you can find why God allowed Solomon to have so many wives as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could 300, 700, 1,000 women feel like their husband loved her? How could he possibly pay attention to all of them? How could he care for so? How could he care for so many? John, how could he please so many? He can. The Lord gave Solomon. This is the whole picture of Christ. He gave him such largeness of heart that every woman felt like she was his only bride. I remember when we had that little farm. Had Abner, you know, he was my choice. And I got another old pound dog, got to betrothed Annie to Abner, my dog, just for him. Okay. So she's my dog. So I had these two dogs. Well, the neighbor's dog came up and I tried to run her off, but Abner and Annie told her, no, he won't run you off. You keep coming. He won't run you off. Okay, I had a way that I could make all three of those dogs feel like I was talking just to them. You know what? I had two arms, two legs, and I'd pet and scratch all of them. You know what I'm talking about? You who have multiple dogs, you crazy people, you. But I could make all of them. I'd be petting and I'd talking to them, and they all thought he's talking to me. I'm his special bride, a dog. Oh, you all are. When you come in here sometime, you hear the gospel on rare occasions, and it's wonderful. And you say, the Lord spoke to me. No, He's speaking to all His bride. He loves all His bride. He treats them all the same. He provides everything for all of them the same. But if He has a way, He's able to speak to you personally, to make you feel like He loves me. He's talking to me. He chose me. I know He chose sinners, but now I believe He chose me. You know, this man may have married a prettier wife. A younger wife. Okay? Brother Nybert one time when Lynn turned 40, his wife turned 40. Man, that's young now. That's a young bride now, isn't it? I mean, get past that. But anyway, Todd told her, I'm going to trade you in on 220s. She said, you ain't wired for 220. Oh, man. What if this man, prettier wife, okay? Younger wife, doesn't matter. Mm-mm. He loves them all the same. Well, she gets down and old and ugly and sick and afflicted. Well, she sees no beauty in herself at all. He's going to love her more. Our Lord sends those things. Brother Jim Groover, Walter Groover's brother, passed away not too long ago, but if you've seen Walter, you've seen Jim. They look just alike, didn't they? His wife, she had cancer. They were married for 60 or 70 years. The Lord gave her cancer. She died with it. And she got bedridden and gaunt and just a skeleton, you've seen people like that. And, he was bathing her and she was crying. She said, I'm so ugly. He said, you've never looked prettier to me in all your life. You've never looked prettier. It's to the sinner who says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst. There's no way He could love me. That's who He sent Christ to die for. You know that? Not the proud. He'll divorce the proud. And this is the way He sends these afflictions. He sends these things all the lifetime of all of God's people. I don't even have a handkerchief. Anyway, just when I need it the most. He sends these afflictions, causes us to get old and ugly in our own estimation, to show us His love and His beauty and His glory and His mercy and His grace. Amen. His gospel for sinners. This ain't for pretty women. It's for harlots and publicans and thieves on the cross and old and worthless and dried up and cancer-stricken lepers. That's who this gospel is for. And that glorifies Him. He says, her food is not to diminish. I'm going to feed her fat things, wine on the lees, well refined until the day she or he dies. She's not going to be hungry. Ever. Her raiment. She's clothed. Never going to be found naked. Beautiful raiment. Glorious raiment. White robe. Her duty of marriage. He's going to love her. He's going to commune with her. He's going to prove His love to her till the day she died. He's not going to diminish. He's going to increase. If He doesn't do these things, He doesn't get anything out of her. Just let her go. No money. He doesn't gain anything. He loses. He doesn't get anything out of her. She's not worth anything, but He won't get a thing out of her. if he doesn't do what he promised to do. He'll lose his name. He'll lose his glory, his reputation. If God doesn't do what he says he will do for sinners, he loses his glory, doesn't he? His son's blood doesn't really pay the price, doesn't it? And God didn't really love you if he quit loving you, did he? God loses his glory. And we're turned loose and back out and lost again, you know, in the world. But so God gave this command, didn't it? And this story is the story of Christ redeeming his people. He's not going to let one of his daughters go. They're betrothed. And the son paid for you. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price and you're married to another. Bless his holy name. Okay.